Welcome to a Thursday morning in the great city of Atlanta. My name is Steak. That's Sandra Golden, the number one rated sports talk radio station in the city. You're listening to it, actually in the southeast, actually in the western hemisphere. 137,000 watts, a monster signal. You can hear us. Oh, heck, you can hear us in Athens. You can hear us in Savannah, or close enough, Augusta, right? I mean, all kinds of places that you can hear us for, sure. So how are you doing this morning, Sandy?
I'm doing great.
Can we get Sandra's microphone on? That's be a nice way to begin the program.
They're trying to tell me something. I'm doing awesome. I slept so good. It was a good night, except for the Braves, but all good. Anxious for a nice Mother's Day weekend. I'm hearing a lot. Can I tell you a great story? I stayed at the Bell Yard, best hotel in Atlanta, Georgia, and I went down to get some coffee steak, and this lady was dressed head to toe. She looked so cute, and I was like, gosh, you look so nice. Well, this New Yorker said, I'm going to my son's graduation this morning from Georgia State. So shout out to all the Georgia State Panthers that are graduating this morning. But she went on and on about, she said, I should be an ambassador for Atlanta. I love it here. I love the people here. I love everything about it. My son's recruiting folks from New York. And it made me like a proud mom. Isn't that great? I'm sure you hear that all the time. You're out and about more than I.
Well, what I hear is how many folks love coming down south and going to college,
yeah.
And Atlanta's just a part of that, right?
Yeah.
You hear about Georgia Tech a bunch. You hear about Georgia State, Kennesaw State, obviously Georgia. All these SEC schools the Northeast has fallen in love with, and Atlanta's just another great example. What they're trying to do at Georgia State is what they're trying to do. I was lucky enough to be over at Centennial Yards yesterday and got a tour of what's happening across from Mercedes-Benz and State Farm. And what they're trying to do is it's the final step for Atlanta is to make our downtown a bigger deal, right? Whether there's a concert or game or not, live, work, play, have folks be down there. Yes, they want to build that entertainment district similar to the Battery,
right?
Yes. But more than that, they want Georgia State to be live downtown.
Love it.
You know, and don't be a commuter. Live downtown, have cafes and have restaurants and have affordable places. And just the final step to being a real international city. Now, they're not going to get it all done by World Cup, which is now like 14 months away, which is a whole other, you know, thing I'm becoming an expert on. But it is great to see a lot of folks know about Georgia State in Atlanta, for sure.
Yeah, and just, it was just so, they said they went to Marcel last night for supper.
Oh, damn.
And she goes, where should I go tonight? And I go, how many nights are you staying? So I was like, you have to go to Bar Blanc. And I told her the whole premise. My point being, first of all, New Yorkers are not chatty Cathys like I am. And
yeah,
she
must have been like, why is this woman harassing me or talking to me?
Exactly, like most people. But I just found it such a breath of fresh air on a Thursday morning in Atlanta, Georgia, where she can't wait to go tell everybody how great Atlanta is.
Yeah.
Congrats to all the graduates.
The grads at Georgia State, and they will be dispersed among the city probably around 1 o'clock today, right?
That's right.
There's nothing like, you ever be in a restaurant when a graduate walks through and everybody starts clapping for them when they're still in their cap and gown?
I haven't done that in a while.
Yeah, I'm sure you'll see that later today all over town as well. So,
yeah.
Anyways, is weather going to be okay today or not? Because it looked like 4 straight days of rain. And then all of a sudden, right now, it ain't bad, all things considered. People's golf game looks like it's going to happen. So
40% chance of rain, going to 83 degrees, and it's going to rain about 4:30.
Okay, so all day they're pretty good.
Yeah, and let's get the game in. Looks like it's going to come and go.
Okay, can you go to Saturday where we're having an outdoor graduation party?
Everyone relax. I used to do the weather. Don't be afraid.
Yeah.
I've got this.
Meteorologist Sandy.
I used to be a weather chick. High of 69, hey now. And it is a 60% chance of rain. But I got to tell you, what time's your party?
So the party kicks off, I believe, at 4 o'clock.
Not ideal.
Okay.
Rain expected.
Yeah, I told you, all these people, like we have a beautiful, awesome place to have it. And if it rains, everybody's coming to my house. I don't want all these people at my house.
They're coming to your house. You should prepare and get some nice catering services. You should just count on it at your house. Like, why would you even chance it at this point? Just get ahead of it.
The party is thrown at this restaurant. So they're going to move all the stuff to our house. But I mean,
yeah, so call them today and just have it moved.
I don't want to have it moved. I don't want all those people there.
Denial's fun. Okay.
Right?
Okay.
What did you say is fun?
Denial.
I know. Well, we got our fingers crossed. Let's do a 9 at 9.
Wellness check on Steak Shapiro. That's what was happening last night. as the Knicks go up 2-0 in that series. They take both. How stake? I know we're going to get into it in a second, but just tell people what is happening. They
win 91-90. First time in playoff history that a team has lost back-to-back games with a 20-point lead at home. The Boston Celtics are built to win a title, unless they're not. We'll talk more about it. We'll talk about it because it's fascinating what the Knicks have done walking into Boston Garden. I mean, I told you yesterday, you just have to take the Celtics. They're going to shoot threes. They're probably going to win one of these games by 20, 30 points. I was one game off. It's Oklahoma City that won huge last night, right? They were up by 45.
Yep.
But give the Knicks credit, man. The all-time freakout. You want to listen to Freakout Sports Talk Radio in Boston today? Will be unbelievably entertaining. The Knicks win. Knicks aren't even playing great, dude. And they're still up 2-0 with two wins on the road. We'll hear from Joe Mazzulla, Tom Thibodeau, and some other folks. But Jason Tatum is getting his share, man.
It's so true.
25 of 100 from three. 25 of 100 from three are the Boston Celtics.
Awful. All right, so like he told you, the other game, it was a blowout, 149 to 106. But the big news in the NBA is Steph Curry. He has that grade one hamstring strain. He'll be out a week. I will rewind the tape because Spencer Strider had a grade one, and he's been out since April 18th.
Yeah, I was going to say, so it's the same injury. They have no idea. If he's back in a week, they are going to have the most advanced medical protocol for a pulled hammy in the history of the world. Think about the amount of people that are going to be testing, how quick a normal human being be 3 weeks. They're going to absolutely see if they can steal a game or two and get him back. But I would be very concerned if I was the Golden State Warriors.
Right, so Golden State is at Minnesota tonight. That's an 8:30 tip. There's only one game. Minnesota favored by?
6?
10.5.
Okay.
Yeah. There you go.
So yesterday it was like 4. Now it's 6 points because of Curry.
Braves lose to the Reds 4-3 last night. Hunter Green was dialing it in. He's
impressive, man.
He left with a groin injury after 3, so you're thinking, okay, Braves, let's go. Because, oh, by the way, he struck out 6, gave up just 3 hits. But the story here, you guys, is the Braves come back. We got Michael Harris on the bottom of the ninth. You're down 4-3. And they pinch hit for Eli White. Eli White is leading the Braves with a .303 batting average. So Snitker says, I'm going to go in with Eddie Rosario. Why? Because Emilio Pagan has kind of had trouble with Rosario. So he's got a home run against him as a brief. So that was a gut feeling, but stake, folks are losing their mind that that decision was made. You'll hear from Snitker on exactly why he did it. The finale of this four-gamer is tonight. Spencer Schwellenbach and Nick Lodolo is coming. The Braves fall up. They come up short again as the quest for 500. They are 17-12 since going 0-7.
Yeah, I mean, we talked about that a Colorado chance last week and didn't get it done. And I said, I didn't like him yesterday. I told my buddies, if you're a gambler, I don't like the Braves tonight. Something about getting close to 500, not getting there. Obviously, Reds had a great starter. If you're losing your mind or Eli White versus Eddie Rosario, God bless you. You're a hardcore Braves fan. I mean, Brian Snitker, trust his gut more often than not. He's right. And there's a reason with the numbers to go to Rosario. It's not like you pinch hit for Aaron Judge. You pinch hit for Eli White, who has been awesome. But slow your roll.
The bigger story here is, I mean, we're going to circle that one last night. The bigger story is the Braves with runners in scoring position that are absolutely dreadful. They are 22nd in Major League Baseball right now with runners in scoring position. And the clutch gene is not happening. The other thing, and I just brought up Spencer Strider. Okay, everybody. He threw a bullpen session yesterday. I've never seen anything like it. They didn't let him talk to the reporters. They want to see how he feels today. It's a lot. Like I said, that's retroactive. His being on the IL is back to April the 18th. Are you serious?
Well, I mean, it was obviously a more serious situation than we thought. And, you know, until we get Acuna and Strider back and we get into the heat of summer, we're not really going to know what we're capable of. Right now, it's guys like Eli White that have kept this train on the tracks. I wouldn't say rolling, but it's kept this train on the tracks. You're going to Pittsburgh after this series. Pirates are horrible.
And we don't face Paul Skeens.
And then I think it's the Red Sox in
town. It's the Nationals. Yeah. You go to the Nationals, I believe. So you got a couple of series.
Oh, Nationals are here. I'm sorry. You're right. No, my bad. Nationals are here next week. Then I know a ton of folks headed to Boston at Fenway Park, Red Sox and Braves.
Well, they've got to cheer for something stake. The Boston people are very upset. They're turning to baseball.
Yeah, I was on a thread last night. I said, at least the Red Sox won.
Right.
It's like,
I knew
that's
it.
Funny. That's funny.
Good. Okay.
All right. That's 9 at 9.
That is 9 at 9.
That is 9 at 9. All right. When we come back, what do we have cooking for you? Well, I don't know. Sometimes things take on their proper place. You want to be the superstar? You want to be the babe, the boy? You want to live on as an all-timer? Well, when you don't get it done, the heat is real. Jason Tatum is feeling it. Also, what do you do when the way you play isn't working? Do you change in midstream? We'll get into that, talk a little more Braves. Michael Penix interview from yesterday. Our buddy Brian McFadden did a fabulous job with that. That's coming up. And is the SEC ready to go to 9 games? Just one of many things on the docket on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 9:23, and my name is Steak. That's Sander. We have a radio show. They give us 2 hours. We take advantage of it. It's virtually like 6 or 7 segments, and that's perfect for us. We're older folks, right? Yes. Those young guys out there, Abe and
Young
G Money is running around here.
Turtle.
Turtle's doing like 7 hours at night or something crazy. I don't know what's
going
on.
That's a great little show. I listen to that a lot because I'm usually driving around right then. He does a great job.
That is the ultimate training ground. That's where I listened to Andy Bunker for years. I think I remember telling you at the other station.
That's right.
They have
that's
a guy
right.
on at night yeah. that does a really good job. And I think that's where you've kind of flexed your muscles as a young journalist.
Journalist!
All right, so Rusty's not here tomorrow. So I'm essentially flying solo in many ways. G's going to help out. Obviously, Bo's here every day with us. But no Rusty on Friday. And that bothers Kimberly because that's her favorite. She always talking about
bothers my husband. He's
a Rusty
in love
guy.
With Rusty. The Rusty rocks. He's like, what time is – I mean, it's really something.
Yeah. So buy or sell. Like Friday's a big day. We crush. Mm-hmm. So Mike Conti has asked me to put my mom on for Mother's Day tomorrow.
Okay.
And asked if she would play by herself. So my mom's awesome. She's 85 years old. She's, you know, sharp as a tack. Is that the term?
Yep.
Sharp as a tack.
Yep.
Boy, that's an old person term.
No, that's a Southern thing.
Oh, yeah?
That's a very Southern thing, yeah.
So, anyways, like, I guess I'm probably, I'm thinking entertainment-wise. First, it's always nerve-wracking when you have your mom on, right?
Mm-hmm.
When And my mom has been on the radio a lot over the years, and people like hearing her. She has a unique
accent.
She's
comedy gold. It's unintentional comedy gold because she's so great.
That's how. So that's exactly what my kids say because she's just, they're like, your mom is the funniest thing ever, and it's unintentional a lot of times. So like if you were in a group text with my mom, because she's European and she speaks 9 languages and she's just very sophisticated lady, the text chain goes from like a bunch of idiots to just like, it was glorious to see Kimberly at the Kentucky Derby party. Her elegance continues to shine. I hope that the outcome of the races were advantageous, right? Like, I'm not even kidding. And everybody's just like, oh, my God, have you seen Volley on the text? Like, that's an ongoing thing.
You can't even
thing.
Respond. That's so great.
No, and everyone's thinking, like, so she's supposed to come on tomorrow. And I guess, do I host by or sell? Has her son asking her, you know, by or sell, like, Stephen was your favorite son over the two by
Hilarious.
Herself.
Yes, yes.
You know,
yes.
Now somebody else could host it. Like, if you were here, you would host it because you know
yes,
her.
Yeah.
But nobody else really knows her, and I'm flying solo.
No, you have to. Who else would possibly do it?
So I'm going to host by herself with my mom.
And don't get all sensitive, Sue. Just do it. Just, you know.
No, what do you mean sensitive?
Don't get, like, when she says, no, Brother Brom is my favorite. You know, don't get all
sensitive. What are the chances of her saying that?
She won't answer. I know her. She's not going to answer.
Do you think she has a favorite between me and Bram? You know Bram.
Every single parent has a favorite.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you know my brother and you know me? So
it's definitely you.
Yeah. It's
Brother Bram is nice.
It's like, think of the Kentucky Derby with a horse like 30 lengths ahead. That's me and Bram in my race. Like, that's not even a close race. No, I'm just telling you.
Yeah, okay.
That's not a close horse race.
Right.
And he would tell you the same thing.
It's just like baby Sophie out in front of poor Nola and Bobby. They're barely...
They have to
share a room. Sophie has the Shapiro suite. And Bobby and Nola are like, what? I'm back here. No bathroom?
When you start following... when you start going to Georgia Tech basketball games with me, Sophie's been going to like every sporting event on earth with me.
So good.
You get points. You score points. But I don't have a favorite. It's not like that. Different things with different kids is all, as I'm saying. So tomorrow, Bob Ryan will join us, by the way. And it's not about I want to do this like, heavy Boston thing. Just thinking about Bart and sports writing, and he's one of the greatest of all time. And that show's ending, by the way, on ESPN, right?
Yeah.
Soon. Around the horn?
Is it over yet? Well, I'm not sure with the date. I'll look it up, yeah.
But anyway, we'll talk to him about the profession he's been in for the last
100 years.
And there is a freakout going on. We'll talk Celtics in a second. Okay. But you mentioned Snit last night and the Braves lose a tough
one. I was having a moment of zen, like watching the Braves, and I love Braves Twitter. Do you guys realize that we are freaking out over two players? One is named Eddie Rosario, and the other is named Eli White. Like, isn't there a little something wrong with Braves country? Like, we got to, like, reel this whole thing in. So I'll recap. Braves lose last night 4-3. And did it come down to the bottom of the ninth with two outs? Yeah, maybe, as if somebody were a hero. Michael Harris is on base, and it's Eli White's time to come to the plate. They pull him, and they pinch hit an Eddie Rosario. Freak out!
What do you say when you say freak out? Does that just mean people on Twitter are saying something?
Snit should be fired. What kind of? I'm telling you. Yes, the freak out that it. Well, that's my point.
How big a loser are you?
List clearer.
How big a loser are you if you talk about?
Why did you do that, Brian Snicker?
Off right handers, way better, and thought maybe Eddie could recreate some old magic.
So
what was the beginning of that? Because we didn't hear. It says he's better against right handers.
Yeah, this guy's got better numbers off right handers.
Okay. There we go.
Okay. So, right-handers were 1-for-29 with 12 strikeouts against Emilio Pagan. Eddie Rosario also had a home run against him, his last outing. So,
fine.
He had a gut feeling. And was he going to go up there and hit a home run? Probably not. Was Eli White going to go up there and get an RBI? Probably not. But I get it. We're at a point where we started 0-7. Spencer Strider, I mean, this. I get it if you're hurt and you're such an elite athlete, you cannot force this stuff back. But it just seems like a long time to me. Am I the only one? April the 18th for a grade one hamstring strain. And then Ronald Acuna, if somebody wants to play Where in the World is Ronald Acuna, that'd be great too. So that's where we're at. Let's go get him tonight. Spencer Schwellenbach
like
on the mound.
A lot of frustration. First of all, wasting energy if you're talking about Eli White and it was all right. That doesn't matter.
Right.
I mean, that's the most insignificant. Like, if you want to, you know, listen to some show that's going to do 10 hours on every play in baseball, like in certain cities, like, okay, he went with a gut feeling. Listen, Eli White's done everything he's supposed to do.
He's leading the team with a 303 batting average.
Yeah, that's great. He's Eli White. I mean, he's a journeyman.
Journeyman. Braves, like I mentioned, runners in scoring position. It has started since day one. You were hitting 0-5-6 when you went 0-7 with runners in scoring position. That is why you were 0-7. Right now, you're 22nd in the league, and you're right about the Mendoza line with runners in scoring position. It's not going to cut it. You're not going to win nothing. So we're going to get
but
it.
But I mean,
together.
You were exactly where you should be. I mean, if you're 22nd,
that's exactly
you're about the 22nd best team.
That's right.
I mean, that's when you're under 500. And then I would imagine, I don't know, do you have who's the best in baseball with runners in scoring position? So if you pull that stat.
Texas Rangers. I'm sorry. Texas Rangers.
They are.
They're batting .356 with runners in, which is insanity.
Yes, they must have some really bad pitching because the Rangers aren't good either. Mm-hmm. They're at .500. They're almost the identical record as the Atlanta Braves. Meanwhile, you know, the Celtics rolled through an NBA title going 16-3 last year. And they did it because they built their team around two superstars, Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum. Jaylen Brown, the Wheeler High School product who does a year of college. Jason Tatum goes to Duke. You both get it. You get them both in the first they're not number one picks in the first three, four picks in the draft. And then you surround them with Porzingis and Derek White and all these Olympic players, right? So Jrue Holiday's on the Olympic team. Derek White's on the Olympic team. Jason Tatum's on the Olympic team. And then, you know, they're just loaded. They are loaded. And the way they play is they have all the math and algorithms in the world that says three-pointers are better than two-pointers. Mid-range jumpers are a waste. We have as good a chance of making a mid-range jumper from 18 as we do from making it from 22. 22s are worth three. 18-footers are worth two. That's the way they play. That's how they're going to play. So they shot 100 threes, and they've made 25 of them. And if they go down, they'll go down doing what they do. And in life and in sports, sometimes it's just do what got you there. Don't go away from who you are. They're shooting wide open threes. I mean, wide open.
A lot of them.
Yeah. And Al Horford can shoot threes. Peyton Pritchard can shoot them. So can Jalen. So can Derek. So can Jrue Holiday. The New York Knicks did not think they'd ever be able to hold the Celtics to 25% shooting from three, and it's not like they're in their face on every one of them. So that's just what's going to happen. But in every city, if you want to be the guy, you have to step up. And Jason Tatum has been a disaster in two games. And they're going to hear it in that town at the next level. It will be sports talk radio vitriol like nothing you've heard, and that's fine. That's just how it is in sports. I love that kind of thing. Now what's going to happen? Now there's a storyline. Either the Celtics get swept out. You know, there's rumors that they're going to not keep Jaylen Brown because he's cost so much money. They're going to try to get Cooper Flagg. They're going to go to New Orleans or the Wizards or somebody and say, here's Jaylen Brown and here's Peyton Pritchard or Derek White. We want the number one pick in the draft. And they're going to go get Cooper Flagg, essentially. So there's rumors of that. If they go down.
How do you feel about that? You guys are going to freak out over that.
Makes a lot of sense. Because
wow.
Jaylen Brown's going to cost like $800 million or whatever it is. So here's Joe Mazzulla last night. He's catching it, man. Joe Mazzulla, what are you doing? So here he is.
I mean, you're down 2-0 heading on the road. So, you know, you have an understanding of your environment, what you're up against. There's also obviously a lot of things that we're doing well, but then there's things that we need to be extremely better at in those situations. So, you know, obviously you have an understanding of the environment. You're down 0-2. So, you know, we got to get on the road and we got to find a way to win.
They're up by 20. They're cranking this in the timeouts. I got buddies at the game. I should have put 5,000 on the Celts. I friggin' knew we'd win by 30. I friggin' knew it.
Woo!
They're up by 20. I love sports, man. In a million years, they were 900. You had to bet $900 in the series to win 100. 900. And they just lost two in a row. They blew two 20-point leads. At home.
It's unthinkable.
It's wild.
Sports is awesome.
It is. It really is.
How do you like their math?
No
Woo!
Doubt. Hey, when we come back, is the SEC ready to take the money and play more football? And Michael Penix Jr. at a Waffle House. Great interview. We'll tell you about that. Sports Radio 92.9. Steak and Sandra taking you through a Thursday morning, and kudos if you get the day to enjoy, because there's going to be a lot of rain in the next week or so. Today looks awesome until later in the day. Braves, though, not a getaway day, right? It's a night game?
Night game, that's exactly right.
After a four-game series, a lot of the Reds, you don't get a ton of four-game series, but this is a lot of time with Terry Francona and the Reds. Reds trying to make it a split today.
That's right.
And Braves trying to make it 3 out of 4, playing at a horrible Pirates team coming up, where they can't score any runs for their ace Paul Skeens, and we'll go into Pittsburgh, one of the more underrated ballparks in America, right? And
it's
downtowns.
Awesome. And they're having the draft next year. I was just reading this whole
Pittsburgh
deep dive.
Is?
Pittsburgh has the draft, and then it's going to Washington, where they're expecting, I don't know if you read up on this, 2027, this 1.2 million people they're expected in Washington, D.C. But Pittsburgh is saying, hold my beer. What they're about to do at that downtown area, you're exactly right. If you're looking for a road trip, first of all, very reasonable to stay downtown. Flights are very reasonable. It is a great city downtown where that ballpark is.
Yeah, Milwaukee, another one of those towns that has a phenomenal ballpark, underrated, and a really good downtown. My wife, her corporate office is in Milwaukee, so she's been staying. She's like, this is a
so
cool
fun.
Town.
Yeah.
So,
are you a brat guy, like the good brat?
Yeah, no, I'm not afraid. You got to have some
good brats with
get
the
your
onions.
Sausage here.
Hey, now.
Get your sausage and your brats. Is it true you've never been to Fenway Park?
I've never been to Fenway. I can't even believe it. Maybe that's a summertime trip.
Why don't you just do that next weekend? They're there all week. What's Larry doing next weekend? Why can't you guys? The Braves are in Fenway next weekend, and it's not hard to get tickets at all.
Plus, so, I know Steak Shapiro.
Well, I mean, just saying. And you could stay with Valya. She'd be thrilled to have you. I'm not even kidding.
All right. I'm going to do it, but I'm going to likely do it in the summer.
But this is,
I have a graduation party in Mobile, Alabama next weekend.
Just,
I got stuff, too.
It.
You're not the only popular
just
one.
Stop it.
You're not the only popular
with
one.
With your Mobile graduation. I just told you the Sox are playing the Braves.
And listen, it's going to be crowded now the Celtics are done. It's going to be rushed on tickets.
Everybody
go, New York. Go, New York. Go. I mean, the people in the streets of New York. Ugh. And here's another thing that gets on my nerve, and my last one is when you turn on the national shows and everybody's bragging about the Knicks as if we're all locals with you are. We are not. We don't care what the Knicks are doing.
Well, it is pretty remarkable. Mike Conti just said he literally has never seen anything like
it. Really
it
really is. And
he's literally like, I don't even, I go, Mike, do I bet the Celtics game three?
Oh,
like, just tell
God.
Me. As if Conti's got the key to unlocking it. He's like, dude. I don't know. I said, I've never seen a team this jacked up as what's going on with them. That go New York, go New York, go. You know that's Jesse Itzler.
Jesse
song, right?
Itzler. I saw his Instagram yesterday. Why don't you get him in studio again? He's so great.
He's too popular, that
he
guy
is popular,
now. He's
yeah.
a big influencer, married to Sarah Blakely in case. But, you know, I'll try to corral him if we can.
Yes.
But he wrote the song when he was a teenager, like 19. Go New York, go New York, go. So still getting props for that. All right, let's do a little tailgate.
USA Today did a deep dive into the Big Ten and their finances and the fiscal year payouts. I'll dummy it down for you. We're talking steak by next year. The number is going to be with a B in terms of a billion. The payout was $928 million, $63.2 million paid out to the 12 long-term, and the other the teams that switched to the Big Ten, they get a different number. I'll compare that for you for the SEC. They were paid $52.5 million. It's a difference of about $10.5 million. But the bigger story here for me is next year projections for both the Big Ten and the SEC are billion-dollar numbers with the media rights. And then it drops late last night that ESPN is all in on making a pitch to the SEC to the tune of $50 to $80 million more if they will adapt the 9-game SEC schedule for their teams.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess that's about $7, $8 million more to pay for payroll for some of these teams. I would imagine there are some programs that would absolutely jump at that opportunity. But the SEC has to be real careful how many games at a conference that murderous, can we say?
No, it's true.
To have 9 games in conference, and who are you adding?
Yep.
So, like, I'm adding Georgia, I'm adding Texas, I'm adding Florida, I'm adding Tennessee. You know, I'm adding just monster programs. LSU, you know, what's the upside for, we know
well,
the money.
Well, pointing to the Big 10 and the Big 12, which
in terms
right
of
now.
Dollars?
It's, they play 9. So the Big 10 and the Big 12 have 9, and the SEC and the ACC play 8. And I'm curious because, you know, Saban was ahead of this, and Kirby's always been a proponent of the 9 games. But I wonder, since this new playoff is in play, and you're right, it's like murderer's row in terms of we're shooting our own here.
Yeah, I'm sure there's a great conversation to be had in those rooms about the pros and cons, because there is a lot on both ends.
I couldn't agree more. Great article yesterday, Dog Nation, about the whole recruiting of Jared Curtis. He commits, and it came down. Jared Curtis commits to Georgia, number one quarterback in the country, recruiting for coming out. And Rusty told us he'll be there in December. Neither Georgia nor Oregon was the highest number in terms of the NIL evaluation and what he's going to get. They did not name what was, but they said neither of these were. The interview with the mom is pretty great with this article. I think you guys will like to read it because she was all about the relationships and how close he was, you know, Nashville to Athens, how many visits he was able to take as opposed to Oregon. So it really sounds like it came down to geography.
Georgia doesn't have to offer the most money. I mean, Georgia just has to show what happens when you go to Georgia and where you end up in the NFL draft,
right,
and all the things that come alongside it. So, yeah, listen, they have to be in the running, but they absolutely don't have to be the highest paying. Those are maybe schools that are trying to desperately, you know, change their program to get to Georgia's level.
And I wouldn't blame you because you can't rest on your Georgia. So, yeah,
say it
good
again.
For you. I wouldn't blame an Auburn if they came up with some ridiculous $4 million number that, as your value, that this is our desperate move, that we're going to just pay you all the money. We have to do something.
Well, I mean, listen, Auburn's got a massive payroll as well, and it's more than $4 million probably for a quarterback. But, you know, somebody else is going to outbid Georgia. That's going to happen. Georgia's got
a lot
of
money. I don't know that it would have been four, because they said the projected number for the value, y'all, yeah, whatever that number is, and I'm that is a moving target to say the least, was about 2.65 for Jerry.
Let me just say this. I have no idea what those numbers are, because you sit with Drew and he goes, everything about these numbers are skewed. That doesn't sound skewed. That sounds like a real number. But like the number in Miami that you heard for certain quarterbacks, and really knows.
Jackson Cantwell, who's the offensive lineman that Rusty was talking to us about the other day, both parents Olympians, he's about 6'8", 300 pounds. The number for him to Miami is $2 million. Everywhere else, including Georgia, I believe, which was mentioned, it's down to Georgia, Missouri, Miami, and I believe Oregon was a 1.5. The numbers are mind-blowing. I get it, and it's confusing, but I just thought that was interesting to hear Mama say that Georgia and Oregon was not the biggest number. So, pivoting to basketball, because State loves basketball, thought this was interesting. The ACC men's basketball in the ACC is now dialing it back. They had a 20-game schedule last year. They are now going to have 18 games. Why is that? They all sat around the table and said, rut-row, they sent just four of the 18 teams to the tournament.
That's not why they sent four. So they can come up with a theory. It all started, if you want to know why they sent four, you know that SEC-ACC challenge?
Yes.
They had 16 games against a conference right up the road from them. 16 games. They were 2-14. So let's just start with that's their out-of-conference games. If you want to play non-ACC games and you schedule out of conference teams in the SEC and the Big 12, you would have got your ass kicked last year, and the Big 10, because you were the worst conference out of the Power Four by far. So you got problems that extend way past, playing 20 games in the ACC. So you want to schedule a couple of cupcakes. You think that's going to help you? The selection committee, who does a phenomenal job. Another person that's a loser is anybody gets on radio and starts ripping the selection committee. Last I checked, they literally hit every 1 and 2 that made the Final Eight.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody cares who the 67th team is. They do a great job. And they put the right amount of scheduling tough opponents, winning in, quad one wins and all that stuff. ACC basketball, maybe they don't have the money to spend to the SEC. Maybe the whole trend on big, sexy schools like Georgia, Auburn, LSU, Arkansas, South Carolina, Alabama, maybe that's too much for the ACC to overcome. But you watch the Boston colleges at Georgia Tech's and Wake Forest and NC State's and Stanford and Cal's, and you just go, they don't have the juice. They just don't have the juice that the Southeastern Conference has right now. So that's just part of it. Kids in the portal, where they end up, or they ended up in the ACC, not at the same level. That's the tailgate on Sports Radio 92.99. I can say that. My favorite thing to do in Atlanta in the 30 years I've been here was going to ACC games with Bobby Kremins in the Thriller Dome and watching big-time college basketball. And again, you know, back then kids would stay 3 years. Duke would come in. Carolina would come in. Tech was loaded. Like, you knew every kid. It was just super fun to watch.
What year was that?
ACC.
Just throw out a year.
99.
Okay, that's all you need to say.
Sorry.
Because the brand, that is exactly what you're talking about. The kids these days, the folks that are spending money these days, you cannot rest on your laurels that we were the great and powerful all
back
then. It's not happening.
Kids don't care about that.
They don't know about it. Like, that's you're sitting around
ACC,
your dad telling you how great the ACC in basketball was.
The ACC reputation in basketball doesn't hold water anymore.
Right.
Nobody cares about going to Virginia to play for Tony Bennett. Oh, yeah, he's not there. Or Coach Galarraga. Oh, yeah, he's not there.
You're right.
Or Leonard Hamilton. Oh, he's not there.
That's right.
Or Jim Bay. Oh, no, he's not there. I mean, it's like a whole different era. You know what's sexy? SEC basketball. SEC basketball. Bruce Pearl, right? That's sexy. Anyway.
I'm going to send him that clip that you said he was sexy.
Michael Penix sat down with Brian McFadden at a Waffle House and did a really good job. Brian McFadden, a big-time contributor to the station's always on with Dukes and Bell. And Michael Penix Jr. is the babe, the boy. You're the starting quarterback in one of the biggest cities in the United States of America, in a football-crazed town, in a town that is dying to get behind the Falcons, is dying to root for Bijan Robinson and Drake London. And, you know, obviously a team that has been 7 years out of the playoffs. So, you know, he has a chance to take over this town. He has a chance to be the biggest star in this town. But the guy has only played three games as a starter. And by the way, he's only won one of them. Yeah. Here he is talking about, would last year have been different if he had been a starter sooner?
I don't know, man. I just control what I can control, man. Just go out there and be the best me I can each and every day. So I don't know. I can't say that, you know, because it could have been the other way too. So at the end of the day, you know, when my time came, I had to be ready. So.
I mean, it's...
He's very humble. He says the right thing, which is exactly what we want him to be doing, right? You don't want him...
Yeah, why would we have been in the playoffs if Michael Penix started sooner? Kirk Cousins was 6-3. Mm-hmm. So would we have won six of our first nine if Michael Penix was? And then we weren't, although we did win the Raider game. We didn't lose every game Kirk Cousins was terrible in. We won a game when he was – the worst game I've ever seen him play was the Raider game. And by the way, I've seen some bad games.
Chargers? No, come on.
No, the Raiders was literally – you couldn't throw it 3 yards. You remember we ran it and ran it and ran it, and then you tried to throw it finally in the fourth quarter, and he almost threw a pick. And then they just decided we're done with Kirk Cousins. We can't let him throw it one more time. Like, we literally cannot. And Desmond Ridder almost beat us. That was the worst football game I've ever seen. So I can just tell you this. We're putting all our eggs in a basket of a guy that went one of three games. He threw for 202 yards, 223 yards, and 312 yards. He threw for three touchdowns and three interceptions. His completion ratio was 57%. I mean, he's a young quarterback. So we're trying to put all these tools around him, and we think Drake London's about to explode, and that, you know, Bijan and Drake and a pretty good set of receivers, right, in what we put together there, in Darnell Mooney as well. But those stats are what they are.
They are what they are. We're betting on the come, and it's trending up, according to us.
It didn't hurt to get Jalen Walker and James Pierce Jr. Hey, we love our brands in Atlanta, and we love our Coke, and why they're celebrating a big day, right?
And it is a major day
up
for
the street
Coca-Cola
on North Avenue. We salute our friends. What's it like to own the biggest brand on planet Earth? We'll talk about Coke when we come back on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, it's 10:05, and we're thrilled you're with us on the number one sports talk radio station. Number one station, I mean, the station... I get privy to numbers. Guys are listening to this station like no station ever has happened in Atlanta. So we appreciate that. And I know, you know, if you're looking for sports on our show, that's so funny. I mean, there's Broadway musicals to talk about. You know, there's shows on Amazon that we've got to consider. I mean, I just went to Real Tacos for the first time, which is that chain that's just exploding. I mean, like, there are things that are just more important than the Eli White, Eddie Rosario discussion from last night. Like, if you're looking for that, we gave you a few minutes, but come on, right? We're in Atlanta, Georgia, which is, Sandra and I know each other so well, and she knows if she's going to dangle something in front of me, hey now, that a lot of times I say, yes, let's go with that. Like yesterday with the whole conversation about the finality of this time of year for sports and moments and memories. And
right.
I knew that if we talked about Mike Johnson's gout, that it would turn into an explosion. He's doing much better, by the way. He's on some kind. You see him today? He's
upright and doing good. Well, yeah, he didn't even limp. He looks much better.
Because he's on a steroid.
Good for him.
It's exactly what you need. Mm-hmm. So, and then there is the Coke rejoin. So what I find really cool about Atlanta is that Atlanta sits within about 3-4 miles of each other on the biggest brands on earth. Not in America, not in North America, not on the in the you know Western. Like these are the biggest brands in the world out of our city, right? So there's a lot of great cities in America that have a lot of different things going for them. But the level of, I don't know, sometimes under appreciation, we realize that, like, everybody knows Chick-fil-A. Everybody knows Waffle House. Everybody knows Delta. Everybody knows UPS. Thank you, Ernie. Arthur and Bernie, right?
Mm-hmm.
UPS, all those mm-hmm. things. But Coke is a different level. Coca-Cola is the number one brand in the world. And I say that, the 10 most recognized brands in the world, the top four are all tech companies. Microsoft is four, Amazon is three, Google is two, and Apple is one. Those are the top four. They were not the top brand 20 years ago. There wasn't even, you know, these didn't even exist.
Mm-hmm.
Number five, by the way, most recognized in the world is Coca-Cola, okay? They're the only non-tech brand in the top five. And the Coke logo is largely unchanged from the 50s when it was the iconic red and it was introduced that way. So we were that brand before these companies even existed.
So true. It's so true.
Right?
Yep.
Before they existed. Right up the street. Right? Do you have when it started, Coke, by the way?
And we are celebrating today because it's National Have a Coke Day. In 1886 at Jacob's Pharmacy right here in Atlanta, the very first Coca-Cola went on sale. And it was concocted by, or at least this is what the Coca-Cola page says, a chemist. And the rumor was, and it was for fixing a headache, a fatigue.
It was marketed as a tonic for fixing common ailments, headaches, fatigue, and nervousness. Dr. John Pemberton, right up the street, like you said, at Jacob's Pharmacy, had it as essentially a panacea or a tonic that could fix what ails you, right? And it has turned into thousands of folks who listen to us that work at Coke or have worked at Coke.
Yep.
The fascination of a museum, right? Right next to the aquarium and the Civil Rights Museum, right? If people are like, do I go to the Coke Museum? Yeah, you go over there.
It's so great.
I mean, you want to talk about owning market share and how well Coke is doing of late and all the different brands that they own and they bought and they get into in the business model. But just Coke in and of itself, I don't know. When you listen and you think about Atlanta, like when you think of L.A., what's the first thing you think of when you think of Los Angeles, the brand for L.A.?
Movies and Hollywood.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
When you think of New Orleans, what do you think?
Jazz, music, and food.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Cajun.
New York, what do you think of when you think of New York?
Shopping.
Okay. So, yeah, no, I mean, that's all best shopping in the world, best food, restaurants. Mm-hmm. Like, when you think of Atlanta, what do you think people think of? I mean, I don't think they think of brands. Hey, they got great brands there, right? I don't know. What do they think of it?
Southern Charm, college football.
Big college football is a good one. Like the epicenter of the South, right?
Yes, yes, yes.
I think now the brand has been like, boy, that city's on fire.
Our urban culture.
Right?
Big time.
Oh, definitely. Atlanta 100%. Influences everything.
Yes.
Black city. Incredible. Yep. Black wealth.
Yep.
Black innovation. Black music. Diversity. Great companies. College football mecca. You know, all the things that we can hang on to. Coke is a big part of that. And I wonder if you're an Atlanta guy listening, like, you know, do you work at Coke? Have you worked at Coke? You know, a lot of people all of America are like, I get to have my badge and flash it on North Avenue and walk into, you know, the building. I'm walking into a building in one of the largest brands in the world.
And the list of brands, you guys, which I'm looking at it now, and I didn't even think I realized it. Of course, it's all the sodas. It's the Fanta. It's the Dr. Pepper, which I did tell Steak yesterday. The top three brands now, because that P word, the one is Coke. Number two is Dr. Pepper, and number three, Sprite, just took over the other P. And that's in the world. That's not just here in Atlanta. So for their brand, Dasani is the number one bottled water in globally, and right. like you were saying,
the
because it's part
model.
Of the yeah, exactly.
Yeah, if Coke buys you, they have a distribution model that they can distribute you all over the world.
Coke owns Fairlife. They own Topo Chico. They own Minute Maid. They own Body Armor. They own Powerade. Mellow Yellow. I mean, the list goes on.
Oh, they own
on.
Mellow Yellow.
Mellow
wow.
Yellow. Gold Peak Tea.
I haven't had a Mellow Yellow in probably 20 years. But anyways, yeah. I mean, listen, there's a lot of pride factor. I wonder.
Do you order a Coke at when's the last time you just went in at a restaurant? Can I have a Coke Zero or a Coke?
Well, Coke Zero. Listen,
it's the greatest thing.
I was lucky enough to have. I was lucky enough to have dinner with a very, very high executive at Coke recently, and I said to him, "I don't want to hear about Steve Jobs anymore. I don't want to hear it. The greatest invention in modern recent history is Coke Zero. I don't know how that Coke Zero thing happens the way it does." I don't know how it's zero calories, but Coke Zero's a friggin' that's a home run. You and I both are like, that's an addictive. People fall in love. So I wonder also, like, are you loyal enough that if you walk in someone's house and you see the P word in there, I know executives would leave who are like, you know, if you're serving that at your house, there's very few brands in town. That, you know, these contracts with either Coke or the other word happen at a national, international scale. Sometimes you can't control it. But I feel dirty. Like, I don't want anybody to see me, you know, drinking out of if I'm super thirsty and I'm on one of those chains, that's all they have, I'll avoid having to do that.
Yeah.
Right?
I've seen people order, can I have a Coke? And they say, we just have the P word. And they go, never mind.
Right.
I mean, it happens often.
And we're not talking about the P word like what Bill Belichick is dealing with in terms of what
we are right? not. You know, also, the latest campaign, which was one of their most successful Coca-Cola in the 2000s, is the Share a Coke campaign with the name on it. So have you noticed that in all the stores?
Yes,
so
I've
literally,
seen
it was so funny when I was driving to Panama City, stopped and got gas and went in and got myself a Coke Zero. But people are going through the cases
looking
over
there
looking for their names.
Huh.
So, which is great.
What other cut did you want to play? The most famous commercial?
Oh, the most famous commercial. It's the number one Super Bowl commercial of all time, and again ranked number one again.
You know, I love
it. I literally just got chill bumps. Is that so stupid?
I love the notion of somebody, some creative guy from an ad agency that they hired, was like, let's take the biggest, toughest, strongest, and then let's take what everybody loves, which is a cute kid, and let's have the sweat and the grime of, like, everything that Mean Joe Green represents, which, of course, the name itself.
Yeah.
Nobody knows more about how a name can help you than a guy named Steak. But think about Mean Joe Green, right? There's a lot of guys that you could have picked, but Mean Joe Green and this cute kid, right?
Don Draper knew what he was doing.
How about that Mad Men, the series, one of the greatest in television history, ends with him on the top of that mountain, the famous Coke that we played before.
Yeah.
Right,
I'd like to teach the world to sing.
Right, he's
you're
at the
all
going to
sing that today. You can't
but
get
I mean,
it out of your
think
head.
Think how iconic! Right up two miles from us is the biggest brand in the world.
So,
like two.
So thank you, Coca-Cola. Go grab yourself a Coke today.
Thanks for spending money and hiring and all the money in this economy. Yeah, there you go. All right, when we come back, I think we got some interesting conversations to have, including more Michael Penix. Very controversial moment from his Waffle House interview. And Tom Brady tells you what I could have told you the night before it happened, I said it. But we'll hear him say it as well. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. /10:24, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden, Bo Johnson with us as well as we got a busy week. Listen, I'll tell you this, and I know you listen. We're not going to do a ton more on the Celtics, and I know we did some earlier. The first round of the NBA playoffs shows you I can't even begin to imagine what Vegas won on the fact that – think about the first round of the NBA playoffs. So let's take Cleveland – who beat Miami by 28 and 60 their final two games, who was the best record in basketball and went into a series against a nondescript Pacer team, right?
Right.
How much action in Vegas was on them in the series? How much was them against the spread? How much on the money line? Those of you in the money line means you have to give up huge odds, but all they have to do is win. You don't have to worry about winning. And that team literally lost two in a row on their home court. and they blew a 7-point lead with 50 seconds left. So then you go to Boston, who just absolutely rolled through. Who'd they just play and win 4-1? Or Orlando, the Meek Magic, defending champs, better than last year or as good. They're playing at home. The Knicks were 0-8 against Boston last 2 years, so you take them in the series. You're giving up 900 odds, Celtics in the series, to a Knicks team that's, you know, pretty good. That's like the ultimate disrespect. So you take them in game one, the Celtics, they lose, and then you go in game two. And Vegas, think about the people that, you know, thought they were going to cash tickets. Because nobody has the real cojones to bet on Indiana and New York early in this series. Right. Then you go to Oklahoma City, and it's like, well, the Denver, was it Denver? Yeah.
Denver
played the other day. It was a game seven. They were exhausted, blah, blah, blah. They're a 12.5-point favorite. And they go out and win. So now you got five teams, five games where the underdog not only covers. These aren't 4-point underdogs. These aren't 7-point. These are double-digit underdogs, and they went 5-0. They won every one of them outright. And then I was at this graduation party, and what? Listen, I try to, and I think you know this about me. I'm a little bit. I have a soft spot for young people. I try to be a mentor and provide guidance.
That's right.
Shout out to my neighbor, Gabby, graduated Georgia State Law School right across the street from us, our neighbor. I was invited over there. I showed up there around 9:30. There's a bunch of 25-year-old guys there, and they say, you know, we're watching the end of the Celtics, and a couple of kids had bet Boston, and I was consoling them. And they said, Steak, Mr. Steak.
Thank Mr.
you.
Steak.
Mm-hmm. What do we do with this Oklahoma City game? And I said, listen, kids. At this point, we're so far in, right? We're so far in. We're 0-5. The favorites are 0-5. You just have to just don't think about that 12-point spread. Take Oklahoma City. So, but you know,
our youth.
No. In the game last night, though, there was tipping off, and they asked me what to do. So.
And Oklahoma City was a 10.5-point, and they won by 43. Okay, right. I misunderstood. Yeah. I thought you were like, okay.
No, I said there, you have no choice.
Yeah.
At this point, you got to go all in and just take Oklahoma City.
Okay, so now, let's go to Saturday.
So my only point is, I don't know what my point is.
Your
my
point was that you
I'm
are
always
mentor,
there for young, I'm always
and
there
please,
for young
if you
people.
If you're thinking of betting, please refer to Mr. Steak, because he's going to hook you up.
Well, no, I'm not, but I just, it was funny, because we're all sitting there for tip-off, and I love... Dude, all these 20-year-olds know are betting on their
Are they betting on
their
app?
Oh,
right?
My God. Yeah. They're betting on apps. They're doing this and, you know, whatever. Anyway, hopefully they're on the Underdog Sports app. Hey, now. Anyways.
All right, so Saturday, Boston at New York, 3:30, that line
Oh, don't
is...
tell me. Don't tell me. That's a 3:30 start.
Mm-hmm.
Celtics by 4?
5.5.
They're favored.
Favored in New York. In New York. Go.
That's crazy.
Yeah, 5.5 points.
Dude, you talk about lack of respect for the Knicks. They're a 5.5-point underdog at home. If you bet the series right now, it's basically even money. So would you, if you had to bet $500 right now, would you take the Knicks or the Celtics?
Knicks.
Even money, yeah.
Knicks.
You got a 2-0 lead.
Yeah, right? I'm going to just go with the math. Math is hard. Yeah, I went to Florida State, but that is real simple. I know that.
Yeah, let me tell you the math here. One team's 1-2.
Which team is up 2-0?
And they've won two.
They only want to go out to win two of the next five.
Right.
So okay.
Boston has to win 4 out of 5, and they've already lost 2 at home.
It's really remarkable.
You're going to find this shocking. I would take the Celtics.
Mm-hmm.
I would take the Celtics.
I'm more concerned about you in that game at 3:30 and your party for your daughter is Saturday.
don't think I haven't thought of that.
Dude, wowza.
My buddy's,
that's funny.
There's a text chain going around. You know what a Shiva is, right? Shiva is like, you know, when someone passes away,
yes.
You show, and we're running late here.
What about the tunda for the shunda?
So there's a shunda for the kinda means bad for the kids. So the shiva, which is the funeral, post funeral, for my best friend Dino, for his dad, who they scheduled this a week out, is at 4:00 on Saturday, and he's just like, dude, I got bad news. He's like, no, we know your dad died. No, it's not that. It's that his shiva is at 4:00. And the game ticks off at 3:30.
Oh my
and
God.
My buddies are like, this is how his dad's name was Jack. It's like, he lived in Vegas. They're like, Jack would have wanted us all to put a lot of money in the Celtics.
Yeah.
And, you know everyone has to go around the room and, like, tell stories,
yep.
right?
Yep.
It's like
Jack
yeah.
would be mad that you scheduled it then.
Well, how do you, right? Yeah, I know. Jack would have wanted you to lay the points and take the Celtics.
So funny.
So that's literally the text chain is, are there TVs on during the Shiva? That's right. All they want to know. Make sure the TVs are on. We're going to talk Michael Penix after the break. Okay. An unbelievably controversial deal in terms of a Waffle House meal. But let's talk about Tom Brady.
So the Tom Brady roast was about a year ago, right? Yes, it was May 4th or May 3rd, whatever I believe.
And we were like, why is he doing it
why
on
is he
Netflix?
Doing it? Couldn't believe it.
Couldn't really understand it all, right?
Not only that, but whatever you were thinking, it was way worse. And here's a couple. We're going to want to remind you of how Nikki Glaser went all
stole the
in.
Night.
Five-time Super Bowl MVP, most career wins, most career touchdowns. You have 7 rings. Well, 8 now that Giselle gave hers back, but sorry, Tom. Tom, the only thing dumber than you saying yes to this roast was when you said, hey, babe, you should try jiu-jitsu. I think that's gotta suck.
One more, just to remind you, because it is funny.
You're the best to ever play for too long. I mean, you retired, then you came back, and then you retired again. I mean, I get it. It's hard to walk away from something that's not your pregnant girlfriend. It's tough. To be fair, he didn't know she was pregnant. He just thought she was getting fat. And Tom hates fat. I mean, do you guys know about his diet program? It is so strict. But if you follow it exactly as he does, you too can lose your family.
I mean, so and then it got awkward. Like, he was having a good time when they were roasting his friends. When he picks up that glass, and I forgot how uncomfortable it was.
What do you mean? What?
Well, he's sitting there listening to her during the roast, and he reaches for a glass. That's the first time his face was like, uh-oh.
Well, the only time he rejected was the Bob Kraft line about the massage parlor.
Well, he got up
then. Off. Yeah,
you should go watch this again because I forgot how funny it was, but just how awkward.
Jeffrey Ross.
Right.
And Belichick and the whole thing. Anyway, I never understood why a guy in that esteem would let a bunch of people he didn't even know, because he didn't even know Nikki Glaser or Jeffrey Ross. Anyway, so he's on a podcast.
With Logan Paul. It's called Impulsive, and this came up of, like, that roast and what it was.
Incredible. And, like, when you were in that moment, in that theater that night at the Forum, like, it was electric.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It was crazy. Like, we got done. Everybody was on cloud 9. And I think that moment, I'll never forget, you know? And then I'll never forget when I talked to my kids the next day.
Oh, man.
And I was like, I felt like, you know, a stake through the heart, you know, understandably, you know?
Were they mad, sad?
They're protective of their mom, of their dad, you know, of everybody, you know? They're just, what was the point of that? Why did you do that?
Great. So, it's great statement of, why did you do that? The parents.
Well, kids are real simple. I mean, there doesn't. Why would you do that?
So he said earlier in the interview, I regret doing it.
Yep.
I'm not a perfect parent. I messed that up. I knew leading up. We talked to it. I said it didn't make any sense. And I talked to people close to him, and they said Tom loves the idea. And he said in the podcast of he can handle anything. He loves it in the locker room when you attack him. He kind of like thrives on the notion you can come to me with anything. I'm not fazed by it. It's almost like Logan Paul said it to him, like it's like a sickness, right? But if anybody knows, I also gave you the story about being at a soccer game with Giselle and Tom Brady and that boyfriend and those kids post-roast.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't care if you're a plumber living in Dahlonega and you have a divorce where your baby's mama ain't happy on the transfer, right?
It was known
the day after that Giselle, who already was a pretty powerful force, was like, don't talk to me. Don't look at me.
I don't blame her.
We are done,
mm-hmm.
Right?
I don't blame her.
I mean,
but the fact that he didn't know the room and what was going to happen, I'm a little shocked
by
it. But
that was unbelievably pop culture moment. That was 3 hours. Everybody
in
America.
Did he not think that someone was going to go
there?
What
did you think? We all said that week before, like, you know there's going to be more jokes about her sleeping with that jiu-jitsu guy nonstop.
And Bridget Moynihan, and you had a baby, and you're with Giselle. Like, that stuff comes
up. And by
up.
The way, made Nikki Glaser's career. Literally, she was top-notch.
Yeah,
but then she was like, this is how you write jokes and deliver jokes. It's timing. It was impeccable, the whole thing. When we come back, what's not impeccable, ketchup on your grits. What is going... Yeah, yeah. Breaking news out of Waffle House. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Hey, 10:40 on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Steak Shapiro, Sandra Golden. Thanks so much for being with us. Tomorrow, it's a Mother's Day show. Bob Ryan will join us, one of the most famous sports writers in history, really. And he'll talk about
Do you know him growing up? Do you ever work with him?
I only knew growing up because I read him in The Globe.
Okay.
Peter Gammons was the Red Sox guy. Bob Ryan was the Celtics guy. Jackie McMullen was the Celtics guy, the girl that replaced him. Will McDonough was the Patriot. I think at one point, Bob Ryan covered the Celtics. Peter Gammons, the original guru in ESPN,
yeah.
And Will McDonough covered the Patriots. All at the Boston Globe, all
sweet.
At the same time.
Those are real journalists.
That's what you read. Journalists! That's what you read every single day. And, you know, when I was, those were formative years. Like, I'm 10 years old, I'm reading. I mean, I would just swallow the sports.
Where was the paper by the time you got up? Did your dad already have it in? And those of you listening, we used to get a paper delivered, and it was actually called a newspaper.
Where was it? My mom would be. I mean, my dad wasn't a sports fan, so he didn't. He never. He just handed me the sports.
He was reading
page.
The arts and yeah. Arts and
no,
food.
He literally was reading the
yep,
arts and
exactly.
Entertainment.
Yeah.
You know, he'd be reading about what painful foreign film I was going to get dragged to that weekend. I'm not even kidding.
He's not kidding.
Like when my parents would say we're going to the Nickelodeon cinema, I'd like, oh no. Oh no. Not the Nickelodeon. Because like there's one independent, you know, there's the artsy theater.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
There's the big glossy AMCs and General Cinemas and like, hey, we're going to Dedham, like the Dedham Mass, like 10. You know, you're going to see Jaws there. You're going to see, like, you know, Star Wars. And then when my mom would go, we're going to the Nickelodeon. I was like, no! film's going to be in German, right?
Oh, my God.
The film
That's
is
so
going to be in black and white. And it's going to be in Swedish. And it's going to be 3.5 hours. And my buddies are right now, like, up the road at the schoolyard, right? I mean, I can't make this up.
I know you can't.
And then my brother is beating the hell out of me for our childhood, right? Bram had some emotional issues because he didn't have a lot of friends, and I didn't care once I got older. Like, I blew him off, and I was like, I had all the buddies. And we're
brother
not getting
Brother Bram taking strays from his brother over here. I got your back.
So we're not getting along. It's bad. And my parents send me to a shrink. I got to go see a shrink, Dr. Newman, 3 p.m. on Wednesdays. Like, we need one extra for we're playing football. It's 4-on-4 football up at Spalding. And they'd be like, dude, 3:30, meet at Spalding.
I can't do that.
What do you mean? Shap, you're our eighth. What do you mean?
No, I can't do that. I got to say something.
What? I was like,
my
mom was like, I don't know why you ended up. It was both of us were going, like a bad couple, like my parents. And then all of a sudden, like, he was gone and I'm there. And I was the happiest kid at my parents. Like, I have no idea why we ever sent you to a shrink. Like,
That his name was Hello Newman.
Yeah.
Dr.
Newman. Like, you were the most basic kid in the world. Aww. Like, you're just a little meathead, right? You know, watch sports, talk sports, you know, basically like girls. Do your thing. And do you know how much I would dread? I'm going where? To the Nickelodeon?
So funny.
My mom's listening right now. She's just.
Oh, yeah, we got your back. We got your back.
All right. I'm going to give you 3 strikes and we're going to play Michael Penix. How many ball caps do you own? The Mike Bell video of how many Florida State hats he has. Did you see that, Bo, on social?
It's a lot. Hundreds.
Mike Bell owns like 100 baseball hats, caps.
And 90 of them were Florida State.
I mean,
you're right.
Every version of Florida State.
So cute.
How many ball caps do you own? Is it Larry a big ball cap guy?
He's got way too many.
He
has 30 sitting in his car right now.
But sitting in his car.
Honestly, there's a whole back seat. Yeah.
Okay. Would you still bet the Celtics? Even money. You got to bet $200. Would you bet Bob? Maybe it's a stupid question, but I still think people think like aberration. It's even money right now. Think about the fact you get the Knicks. You're up 2-0. They just have to win the series, and you get that at even money. So would you take the Celtics still to win the series? And your favorite condiment.
Game of the night brought to you by John Foy. Thank you so much. Braves, let's go. Let's take 3 of 4. 7:15 is first pitch at Truist tonight. Spencer Schwellenbach on the mound for our Bravos. And also, 10 o'clock hour is brought to you by my favorite fellas these days at Wash Pro, wiseguyswash.com.
All right, 404-726-0929. How many ball caps do you own? And I'd love to hear, like, what's the most, like, if you're a Georgia fan.
And are they all the same? That's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, like, or like, what's the most of?
Yeah, good,
right?
good.
Would you still bet on Boston even money to win the series? And your favorite condiment? 404-726-0929. Michael Penix Jr. and Brian McFadden, CBS Sports. They sit out in a Waffle House. I'm not sure what part of Atlanta it was. They talk a little football, but then McFadden lets it be known that, well, here it is.
Oh, that's your walk right there.
I'm from the South, so I like ketchup on my eggs and my grits.
Yeah, I don't.
Don't judge me.
I'm from Florida, too, man. I don't know about
it. It's a weird
ketchup
thing.
Ketchup on the grits.
Yeah, I got it from my granddaddy.
I've seen the ketchup on the eggs.
I put ketchup on everything. My grits, my eggs, my collard greens.
What?
Oh, nah, not the collard greens.
Huh?
Not the collard greens.
Yeah.
Hot sauce?
Yeah, hot. You don't put ketchup on a hot dog?
On collard greens?
Collard greens.
No. I'll put hot sauce in them.
No.
If anything, not ketchup, man.
I can't. What?
Do you want to have him on, McFadden? He's on with Dukes and Bell all the
time.
I
want to have Michael Penix on and get to the root of. He may need to go see Dr. Newman because that is ketchup on collard greens. I've never heard of that.
It's not Michael Penix. It's McFadden.
Oh, you didn't say that. I thought Penix had the ketchup.
Penix is from Florida and said,
what are you doing? Yes, you have to get McFadden on. That's hilarious. Wow. Do you put ketchup on your eggs?
Yes.
Do you grits? Yes. I've never heard of that either.
And I always were told up north that was a southern thing, ketchup on your eggs. Yeah. I was like, I'm down with that. Mm-hmm. But on my grits?
Controversial.
You had some nice cheesy grits from Buttermilk Kitchen. I'm putting ketchup?
Do you make grits?
No.
Does your mother make grits?
No. My mother's from Turkey. What does she know from making grits?
That's right.
She made bad pizzas. You know that. So, did your mom obviously make grits?
Homemade grits with heavy whipping cream, and they would be on the stove forever and so good.
And your mom made
12
chicken,
pounds of butter.
Chicken pot pie?
She didn't make homemade chicken pot pie. Fried
meatloaf?
Chicken, though, and meatloaf is the greatest.
How good was her meatloaf?
Her meatloaf is A.
When's the last time she made it?
Literally, I'm going to go there this weekend and we're going to make it now that you just said it. That's going to be our Mother's Day dinner.
I want some of that.
Shout out, Mom.
I'm such a big meatloaf.
You know about fried chicken in the paper bags where you shake. That's like a real southern. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Those of you from the South, you put it in a paper bag with the flour and all the season, and shake, shake, shake. Take it out, put it in, shake, shake, shake again in
and
a big old
what?
Paper bag, and then you put it in big vat of Crisco.
So it's in a. How are you frying it?
We get some meatloaf
in the pan. So you're seasoning it. You do the dip in the egg white.
Did you have shake and bake when you were growing up?
Please stop. What?
Do you
happening?
Know what I'm talking about?
Brian McFadden and Steak would like to
host
a segment called Terrible Ideas.
No, but I'm just asking.
Shake and bake. What are you saying?
So your mom would make homemade, but do you know what?
Bite?
Did you know what shake and bake was?
It was not allowed inside
right.
of our home.
Did you have a Swanson TV dinner ever?
Are you out?
In your home?
Never. Okay. No,
listen,
my mom is homemade
do
and
not
fried
stick
it up.
Listen, I lived with three generations, so we had homemade dinner every night. Sunday night, no, it was Saturday night, because mommy and daddy sometimes were getting into, they'd have the dinner party, the 1970s dinner parties, right?
Right? A little martini. They weren't like
daddy
in their
was,
room
daddy
up
was,
by themselves.
I mean, listen, it's the
70s. Yeah, it's different.
If you weren't hammered and walking down the driveway, the front walk, you were not a good host. I'm not even kidding.
No, I know, you're right.
You know, you were not considered a good host unless everybody left hammered, and DUI was like, what does that mean? Like,
they didn't have it back then.
They'd be joking on the way down, but they'd have these Saturday night dinner parties, and I'd be watching the $6 million man in the other room, or my grandparents would have gin rummy night. They'd invite their friends over. So it wasn't our normal sit down, six of us for dinner. So they would get a Swanson turkey dinner and just toss that sucker in the oven, and they would just be like, all right, they're fine. I was excited. Salisbury steak, whatever other items that was, and I'm watching the $6 million man, Bionic Woman, and, you know, they're just whooping it up.
You got
and
a then little Apple Crisp. Remember yes, the dessert? The was like Apple Crisp.
And then they would forget my bedtime. So it was one time that, like, you know, the more hammered they're getting in there.
You're staying up all night. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or at least you're like, you know, you don't hear them coming. Like, during the week, you hear them coming. Like, oh, we're going to have to go to bed here. But, like, Saturday nights,
oh.
Whew, I mean, forget about it. 404-726-0929. How many ball caps would you bet Boston to win the series and your favorite condiment?
You're definitely taking the Celtics to win four out of the next five. Great question. That's great. In our three strikes.
Would I take it? I find it hard to believe a team this good is not going to make it a seven-game series, or, like, they're not going down quietly. Made 25 of 100 threes, and they're not contested threes. Tatum missed a three last night. There was nobody within 50 feet of him late fourth quarter. I was like, if you miss that, you'll miss anything.
I mean, they are real dedicated to the three.
I know.
I mean, you missed another 30 last night.
I know.
I don't get it.
But the only thing I would say, City, if you're the best three-point shooting team in NBA history,
right.
Do you go away from like?
Here's what I'm going to do is I'm going to look at the final score, and then that was a loss.
Okay. I can't believe they're favored by 5.5 after all that on the road.
The Celtics are favored in New York, y'all, Saturday at
5.5. In the middle of the Shiva, Jack Goldberg's Shiva, which is it's a whole other thing going on. Hey, Marvin in the car, how many ball caps do you own?
More than 50, and they're all different.
What's the majority?
Yeah, is there one that is that
majority Georgia caps?
Okay.
Would you still?
I got them from all over the Caribbean.
Even money, would you still bet on the Celtics to win the series?
I'd take them in a heartbeat. They'll make the threes.
Your favorite condiment?
Got to be horseradish because it goes in Bloody Marys and cocktail sauce.
Horseradish sauce, not the actual, right? Like when you go to Houston's, thank you. When you get to Houston, they get horseradish sauce with the prime rib sandwich.
Yeah.
That's a condiment.
Yeah.
But the real
horseradish that you would add
to
stuff. Yeah. All right.
Hey, Marine Tim, how many ball caps do you own?
About 70.
Is a lot of Marine, a lot of Zemper Fi? What do you got?
Probably 40 of them are Marine related, and probably 20 of them are Georgia Tech.
All right. Would you still bet on Boston to win the series?
Heck yeah.
And your favorite condiment?
Mayonnaise.
Thank you, buddy. Hey, Will in Covington. Will, how many ball caps do you own?
About 130.
Wow, that's crazy, dude. Where do you keep them all?
I have about 70 in my room, in my man cave, and I have about another 70 in my storage.
All right,
and
I got about 50. All right, what's predominantly, what's more than any other?
Pittsburgh Steelers, Penguins, and Pirates.
Okay.
From my college days, 30 years of coaching.
That's great.
I see a theme. Would you still bet on Boston to win the series at even money?
Yes.
My favorite condiment?
I have to say ketchup.
Okay. Thank you, sir. 404-726-0929. 404-726-0929. We'll take another call or two. I'm such a condiment guy that it's honey mustard and it's Thousand Island. It's mayo, it's mustard, it's hot dog relish. It's the whole deal. Like a dry sandwich or dry anything to me.
I just can't believe the mayo thing because that's a very Goyim thing.
Do you eat chicken salad, chick?
I do. That's excellent.
But there's got a lot of mayo.
No, it doesn't. Mm-mm. That's their mayo. Like there's, I won't name them, but like Goldberg's is a perfect Juna. It's a Jewish.
You're
tuna.
Telling
Very
me there's not
mayo.
A lot of mayo in chicken salad.
It's not. Not as much as other places. Which
Jersey
I do
Mike's. Come on, baby. Come on. We have more calls. We gotta go. All right, we gotta go. You and the just don't
he
worry.
He just gave you the watch. He gave you the watch. He's like, listen. You know.
Jeez.
I can't believe steak in the Thousand Island.
Oh my God, I love
Russian
dressing.
Do you put that on salad?
Sandwiches, dude. If I find a good Thousand Island, I'll eat it with a sneaker. I'll put it on a sneaker and take a bite out of it.
Delicious.
All right, thanks, Bo. Back tomorrow, Sandy. I'll see you next week.
Yay, happy- Happy Mommy's Day, everybody.
Thanks for making the steakhouse part of your day.